like,
we're going to have like 5 episodes come out this week.
Well, that's fine because people are mad that we took so much time off. So we're just kind of backfilling the void that people had. People were mad that we took time off. Guess what? You're going to have to hear Surprise. From us 25 times in the next week.
It's like when we get back and like our Instagram today is like, has been so much, like, it's just going to be like, surprise, we're back. And what about it?
What about it? It's our page.
As we say, welcome everyone to TGNF and F1 Podcast with Kate and Nicole. We're your hosts. This is our show.
This is our show. We run this shit.
But I'm Kate.
I'm Nicole. And welcome back again to everyone who has expressed their
disappointment
in missing us for the past couple of weeks. We took a little bit of a break. We needed it. We desperately needed it. Obviously, we had a little bit of a hiatus on our break when we interviewed Gunther, which is still such a dream. Feels like a fever dream.
I still can't believe it happened.
But now we're back. We just got back from Monza. This episode today is not going to cover our Italian trip. We're going to talk a little bit about our time at Monza, but we have too much to discuss. So we're going to release
an episode tomorrow.
An episode tomorrow that's going to go through like our whole kind of experience if you want to tune into that as well. Yeah,
this episode is F1 heavy. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow's episode will be Kate and Nicole heavy.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be like preview, sneak peek. It's going to be what happened when we thought that our Airbnb was getting broken into and what we were going to do to solve that problem for ourselves. It's going to go into our amazing race adventures and like what we did to prepare while we were on this trip. It's kind of going to get into all of that stuff that's very much not F1 focused, but
still
more
fun.
About us, but still really fun. And I feel like it's going to be an episode you will not want to miss. But we figured if we tried to do that and catch ourselves and everyone else up on F1 news that we've missed the past couple weeks, this episode would be probably 3 hours long. So we're going to do y'all a favor and split it up.
Anyway, we have a lot of F1 news to cover since we've been out of the game for a couple of weeks. We wanted to kind of touch base on everything that has gone on since Kate and I last had a discussion.
We got to get into it.
Yeah.
We did just say that we're not going to talk about Italy, but I think maybe we should start with Italy.
Let's just cover Monza, I think, because that's important to discuss. But I think for all intents and purposes, Monza was a pretty exciting race this week.
Agreed. I think they're never going to be exciting this season when in terms of P1.
Yeah, right.
The battle for first position is never going to be exciting. It's all about what happens behind Max.
Right.
Like, it's like ABM. Anyone but Max, whatever is happening behind him, that's what determines like a good race. And I think we got some good racing this week, especially for like P2, P3, like the second and third place on the podium. I think those battles were like very exciting. And it was honestly really fun to watch in person, especially like we were right at turn one, right at the end of this main straight. So like we got to, like once DRS turned on, I feel like we saw so many people, like it was literally right at the spot that they would like start to go next to someone to try to get them on the turn. And it was so cool.
Yeah, it was really fun. And we saw, I think, a lot of teammate battles this weekend. Mm-hmm. We saw Lando and Oscar go head to head a little bit and Carlos and Charles battle it out, which was really fun to see. And it seemed like everyone really had a good time kind of racing their teammates, and no one was like mad that it happened, and thankfully no one took each other out, thankfully, because it could have ended really poorly for those teams who had their teammates battling each other.
I think my favorite thing that we saw was the Checo Lewis that happened a couple times, and I feel like it was like a couple different times that was happening, and where we exactly were sitting, Lewis like was trying to pass Checo like right in front of our seats, and it was so cool. I was like, I mean, when we were in Miami, our seats were fine, but it was really, they were just going past. There was like no overtaking possibilities in front of where we were. And I feel like same kind of thing in Austin, like when we were in GA, like there was nothing. Wow, this one piece of hair is just unsure what it's trying to do. But our GA tickets, we just didn't really see anything. But this was the first time I feel like I have in person gotten to see Lewis do what Lewis does. Be good at his
job.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, like this. I don't know. I feel like it was just like a very like surreal moment to be like watching Lewis Hamilton in front of us, like making these cool like crazy passes and like really like battling with someone. It was like a very cool moment personally.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it was really exciting to see Ferrari at least make it on the podium for their home race, because obviously being in Italy, being in Monza, the Tifosi really pull out all the stops for their home race. And so being on track, being near the podium during the celebration was like really special to have Ferrari absolutely. At least up there. Obviously our manifestation of a double Ferrari podium did not come to fruition, but to be fair, you and I did not really manifest that too hard.
No, we didn't try too hard.
Job. We basically just verbalized that that's what we wanted, but we didn't do enough visualization.
We didn't, especially not for Yuki.
The
best thing I think that we have is the photos of like you were taking a photo of Nick and I at the moment that Yuki stopped during the formation lap and like got our reactions in a photo, and it was so funny.
To have them do the formation lap and then abort the start of the race, we were all kind of like, okay, what's going on? Like, let's get it together. I wonder how many times that's actually happened over the course of history. Like, I feel like it doesn't happen very often. So to be there when they do the formation lap, we saw them drive by like 6 times.
They did like at least 3 formation laps. Yeah. We were like, all right, is this the first 6 laps? Like, what's like happening here? They're all going very slow.
Yeah, it was disappointing though. Obviously, Danny did not race.
I know.
This weekend, which was really devastating for me personally. It felt like a personal attack on me as I was trying to reclaim Monza. It just like, thanks a lot for that. Someone has it out for me somewhere that I didn't get to see that happen. But, you know.
It was you know who.
It was you know who. He said, oh, you're trying to reclaim Monza? You
can try.
Bitch, you thought.
You can run, but you can't hide.
But, you know, I think it was really funny. You and I were talking about it during qualifying that both – like Carlos and Charlos did a good job in qualifying and Carlos had pole.
And I want you to, do you know what you just said?
What?
You said Carlos and Charlos.
No, I did not. Did I? I'm still so tired. Carlos and Charles. They're one person for me now.
Carlos and Charlos. No, it was great. Yes, we have to talk about the mob connections here. We have to talk about the mafia.
So obviously there was an incident that was being reviewed by the stewards between Carlos and Charles.
That they both failed to meet the minimum speed for
they're going their, too slow.
Like intro lap or what, like their like first lap. So like obviously when you go out in qualifying, you do like a slow lap just to kind of like warm up the car and like get acquainted before you do like your hot lap, your speed lap, whatever, which is going to be your fastest lap, and that's like what you're trying to do. And I guess there's a minimum time that you have to hit. Like you had to go like the slowest lap that you could do on that is like 1:42, and both of them went slower than that.
So they
were getting investigated. We never heard about it again. It was like all over. It was all over. It like kept flashing up on the screen. Like this, like cars 55 and 16 under investigation for whatever. And then like, you know, Q2 happened, Q3 happened. Like nothing was going on. And then nothing on social media, nothing being posted about like the end of like the result of the investigation. We were like, nowhere else in the world would this have happened. Other than in Italy for Ferrari.
Right. Like
the Italian mafia is paying off the FIA. And they said, you didn't see anything.
You saw nothing. And if you did, then you'll see nothing ever again. I can promise you that. They're ending up somewhere at the bottom of the lake if they had levied that penalty against Ferrari.
Like they made the FIA an offer that they could not refuse. at that moment.
Exactly.
They woke up. The FIA woke up with a severed horse head, but it was like the Ferrari prancing pony head in their bed. And they said, you won't be. You will not be investigating Charles and Carlos for this. And that's just how that worked.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. In terms of F1 news, let's get into it. We have...
Well, a couple other things. Just two more extra things. One, Carlos did get pole position. Incredible for him. Loved that. And then Max did break the record for most race wins in a row.
Yes.
So.
Which I was going to get into Max.
We'll get into that a little more. I just wanted to wrap that all up in the Monza section.
Got it.
You know, okay. In case anyone listens to our podcast for race recap, had to have that in there.
Okay. F1 news. Lewis resigns with Mercedes until 2025. Let's see.
And George.
But I think Lewis was more of a, not necessarily a surprise, but more of a question mark, obviously, because Mercedes is not doing so hot this season. So let's see really if Lewis can work with the team to get them to a spot where maybe he can win his eighth or ninth, depending who you talk to, championship.
Well, I will say that when I looked at this agenda earlier and you put Lewis resigns with Mercedes, there's not like the dash in between resigns. So I thought it said resigns. And I was like, did I miss something? I thought he just extended. I got very, very nervous.
That would be a crazy turn of events. He goes, yeah, I'll resign. And then immediately after says,
I'm actually
done. Don't call me. Don't come to my house.
We're done.
Would
be insane. Yeah, it's, I mean, I feel like this is earlier for sure than he usually announces his re-signing. Yeah. Like, I feel like it's usually like we're at the start of the new season.
Yeah, he shows up or he doesn't.
We're like, is Lewis going to be there? I don't know. We'll see at testing, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
So exciting. Exciting to have him and George back as a team for a couple more years.
Yeah.
Also along the lines of this is silly season. And we have most of the seats filled
for next
season. And I don't remember if we talked about this the last time we podcasted. I don't know. It's been so long. I like actually can't remember the last time we did this. But there is a chance that we don't have a rookie driver on the grid next year. And I think it's like one of the first times in a long time. And I feel like it's like pretty crazy that we could like not have a single rookie next year.
I feel like there's no movement this year. Everyone's staying put.
I did hear, though, I was reading something earlier today that Zhou has been saying that Audi coming in has and like working with Alfa Romeo has been making his conversations about staying with the team more difficult. So I'm unsure if that means that he's going to be able to stay.
Yeah, we will get into that a little bit later in more detail.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's a sticky situation, to say the least. But I am intrigued to see what happens and when more people are going to be
the only people who are up in the air right now is Logan Sargeant and both of the AlphaTauri drivers. That's it. That's the only people we don't know what's going to happen next season.
When is Checo's
2024?
Okay. So interesting. And I mean, especially like what is Danny going to do? Like, is Danny staying like he's just coming in for the rest of the season? Like, please, are we going to have,
I don't want to talk like that right now.
Okay. I'm just thinking.
Listen, I'm already upset because obviously Liam Lawson has come in and done pretty well, which puts a lot of pressure on both Yuki and Danny for the next season. So
yeah,
we can't get into it yet. In other big F1 related news, Andretti Autosport is rebranding to Andretti Global ahead of their F1 bid. Now, Andretti says that this was planned regardless of whether or not they were doing an F1 entry bid and if it's successful or not. It's just because they want to see the Andretti Global logo adapted to align with the American team and its global operations, which compete in 8 motorsport platforms across 6 continents, including IndyCar and Formula E. So I think the part of this move is also to showcase that they're not just an American brand, but they will fit in with the Formula One kind of global operations. And they want to prove something a little bit more to everyone else. But for their records, it is not. And it was just basically, hey, we were going to do this anyway. So we'll see if that helps their case or not when it comes to getting on the grid in the next couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, just in general as a brand, I think it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I think it makes sense for them to do that. Well, let's talk about drivers because now we're talking about them. And this one is giving, if I had a nickel for every time this happened, I would have two nickels, which isn't a lot.
Because it happened to Lando, true. Too.
It would be three, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it's happened three times, is that Carlos Sainz was robbed of his Richard Mille watch, or Mille, I don't know what it is, watch in Milan. It was a group of three people posing as fans, asked for a selfie, and then they grabbed his watch and chased them down.
I'd love to know the logistics of this, because
is it attenzione pickpocket? Like, it's like professional pickpockets that are like taking a selfie and like sneakily getting the watch off his wrist as it goes.
And here's the thing is that I recently just watched Ocean's 8. Heist. This was their heist. And the character Awkwafina plays, and she's like always stealing people's watches. Yes. And so I'm like,
how do you get the watches?
How do you get that? Like,
they're
securely
fastened.
Like, I need to know more about how people are stealing watches right from underneath your nose. Maybe they were assuming that they just like Carlos wouldn't chase after them and they could just kind of like take it. Maybe they had like the two people were taking a selfie and someone was like kind of next to them behind taking the watch. Like, I'm curious about the logistics. So if anyone was there and witnessed this crime happen, please.
Or if anyone has like been a watch thief. I need to know. If anyone has ever like been a watch thief or like a pickpocket, like how do you do it? What are the logistics? Are you unbuckling the watch? Are you saying, oh, let me see your watch? That's so cool. But then you like sneakily do it and you just snatch it off them. Like, how does it come off? I have a very hard time getting my own watches off if I ever wear a watch. So like, how are you doing it on someone else without them noticing?
Yeah,
you need to know.
I have no idea.
Questions.
Not a clue.
Well, if I'm going to host a heist one day, I do need to know how to do this. So,
but don't worry. Him and his assistant managed to stop one of the three robbers after a car and a foot chase. So Carlos he's got it all. He's a Formula One driver. He's a superhero. He's stopping crime left and right. He did get the watch back. The police were involved. So don't worry. His $315,000 watch is back in the safety of his care.
Thank God. Thank God.
Some more salacious tea that I'd like to get into. And you and
well,
I
get back into it. Get back into it. We broke this news, I think.
Yeah, we talked about this a couple months ago at this point, back when Danny was announced to be rejoining the grid. And it involves him and his former alleged best friend, Michael Italiano. Now, for those of you who may not know, maybe you're new, whatnot, Michael Italiano and Danny have been friends for a very long time. I'm pretty sure they're childhood friends.
Yeah, I think they met in like middle school or something and were friends for a while. I did have a chance to chat with Michael Italiano last year. And he, as a little background on him, he used to be in, I want to say like finance or like, oh no, in construction. He was like in like construction something, project management. And then he hated his life. And so he went back to school for like athletic training and nutrition and became a personal trainer. And it was like right at the time that Danny was looking for a new trainer. And so he was like, oh, I've known you for a long time. Like, we're pretty good friends. Like, do you want to just be my trainer and come on the road with me? And that's how they started working together.
Okay, great. Little background. Thank you so much for that. So Michael Italiano has been Danny's trainer for a long time. When Danny left McLaren, Michael switched over to be Yuki's trainer. Now, Danny came back on the grid and we didn't hear a single thing from Michael Italiano about him congratulating Danny on being back. No posts, kind of nothing, especially the fact that they were going to now be working on the same team, which is a little off-brand for Michael, because we've seen him use Danny exclusively as kind of a marketing tactic to get more people to buy his fitness plans and whatnot, yeah. and kind of just like dick riding for Danny. So we thought that that was a little weird. And, you know, we were like, is there beef there? What's
going on? Well, it was already, first of all, weird when he started training Yuki mm-hmm. and Danny never said anything. Like, was yeah. never like, oh, so happy. Because it was obviously a news story. Like, Danny yeah. Ricardo's former trainer is like now staying on the grid and Danny's not. And like, right. Danny never say anything, like, super proud of my best mate for staying on the grid and working with Yuki, like, whatever. Which I felt like was like a little weird to begin with. That was the initial weird thing.
Yeah. And so we were like, all right, something's going on here. We're sensing some hostility. And obviously we know Danny broke his wrist and he apparently went on a little unfollowing spree while he was in the hospital. And guess who was one of those people he unfollowed? Michael Italiano. Now, we don't know what happened there, but after being lifelong friends, them not seeming to interact at all in the paddock, not joking around, nothing. He was not at Scotty James' wedding to Chloe Stroll, which they've all been pals. And Danny, when he got back on the grid, was asked, hey, like, what's your training situation now? And he goes, I'm a lone wolf. I want to do training differently this time. And, you know, we've talked about how Christian made some comments about how skinny Danny was when he came back from McLaren and like how he was a shell of his former self and yada, yada, yada. And like, I've always kind of blamed Michael for that. So whether or not that is yeah. necessarily the truth, I think pieces are kind of starting to fall into place that there are some issues there. And now I'm just kind of worried about Yuki, to be honest. So I don't worried. Want Yuki to have to deal with that. And so I guess no one really knows what happened outside of them and, yeah. and their close inner circle, but it's all very suspicious. And
there's like a whole, I don't think Blake, who's another one of their childhood friends, I don't think he follows Michael anymore.
No. I think Scotty unfollowed Michael
too. And Michael doesn't follow Scotty anymore, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
So it's just like, bro, what'd you do?
What did you do?
You were in the coolest boy group of all time. You're being Big Zane right now. Big Zane energy. Ruining the best boy group of all time.
He really ruined it. And I don't know what he did, but I'm obviously choosing Danny's side on this. Yeah, whatever it is, he deserved it. So, and that's the tea on that.
That's a
tea. We'll be continuing to follow this until we get any sort
yeah.
of...
Yeah, stay tuned for updates. We will be following this story as developments come out later on the 9 o'clock news. Live updates will be happening. Do not worry. The yes. girls are on the case.
I just want to talk about how Alex is really just crushing it at Williams. Like
when he was in P1 during qualifying for like so much of it, I literally was losing my mind. I was like, I will shit myself for Alex starting on pole.
Yeah, even if I was like, he is starting in the second row, I was going to be so psyched for that. Like
I know.
He has really been crushing it. He is really bringing Williams to another level. And I'm so, so excited to see it. Alex deserves it. He deserves the recognition. He deserves to be at a team that's like really going to provide him an opportunity for some race wins. And it's exciting to see Williams turning themselves around.
I'm like, Alex deserves it. Williams deserves yeah. it. This is like a really good, I think this is a really good example of just like a driver and a team that are just jiving. And mm-hmm. like, they just really work well together. Like it makes me think of when Lewis joined Mercedes and like Lewis was like, people liked him. He was doing really well. Mercedes was like fine, wasn't doing yeah. anything groundbreaking. And I think that like, obviously we saw that together, they just like really were a good match.
Well, it depends who you ask that question to, because Alonso would disagree with you. Alonso would say, Alonso, that's actually not the truth, Ellen.
So what's the truth?
So recently Alonso was like, he dismissed Hamilton and Verstappen's success, saying he insisted that Max and Lewis only found winning teams rather than building one up. And he said, Red Bull is not a winning team, thanks to Max. Simply another regulation change in 2021 has caused them to now win all the races. Ultimately, you just need to be in the right place at the right time. So I don't know exactly what they mean when it said that you, quote, build teams around you. So he says that it's just luck of the draw that Lewis and Max joined teams during regulation changes and became winners.
I mean, I think the case is still out for Red Bull. I'd like to see, like, I think once is great, twice is really great, third is going to be awesome. Like, I think it's once you get, like, I mean, Lewis and Mercedes were just so dominant for so many years. I feel like it's once you hit, like, that 4 to 5 year mark of just, like, consistently just hitting it out of the park is when you, like, I think it's fair for Alonso to have that opinion on Max and Red Bull right now, because like there was that coincidence of like the regulations changing and Red Bull just doing really great. But they've had success in the past with Sebastian Vettel. So like I don't think it's fair to say that they're not a championship winning team. But I do think right now it could be looked at as like a couple years in a row of like changing regulations that have suited their car. But I'm just assuming we're going to see them continue to do well. So I don't know. I don't think that's fair of him to say about Mercedes and Lewis, though, because I do think that like they just worked together from the beginning and like they did see a lot of success.
Mercedes, it was the Red Bull domination with Seb and then for 4 years, and then regulations changed and then Mercedes started winning. So I do see what he's saying about it's kind of regulations and which teams get it right.
But
and
for how long can you say that regulations are the only reason they're winning when it's then 8 years of it and every other team is having those same regulations? And so catch up at some point. And if you can't, then it's not a coincidence anymore.
Yeah. I'm just saying I don't know. I don't know if he's wrong, but I also don't know if he's right. Right.
I think it's an opinion and I think it's his opinion, and I mean obviously he's in it every single day, he like gets it, but I don't know if it's as black and white as that.
I think also Alonso wants to feel a little bit better about himself,
the fact that he's never had that many years of success in a row.
More so that like obviously Aston Martin was never really doing that well, and now he's joined the team and they've obviously seen an uptake. And so I think he's saying, well, we're only winning because I know what I'm doing and I'm making changes here at Aston Martin. So it is what it is.
Is what it is. Along the lines of other people being fucking salty and gross, I think that's like basically all we have to talk about for the rest of the time is like people just having annoyingly salty opinions. And here's something that I never really thought we were going to get to. I never really thought that this sentence would come out of my mouth. Toto is being more of a whiny baby than Christian.
Toto's the new Christian this season, for
and
sure.
And I hate it. I was like, it's not supposed to happen like this. Toto, we are rooting for you. We were all rooting for you.
Like, Toto, you're supposed to be poised and you're supposed to keep your mouth shut and you're supposed to be like, I'm better than that. And now you're acting a fool.
Just like... It's very annoying.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And that is Toto right
now. That's Toto right now. And I'm just like, man, we are rooting for you. You're supposed to be like, you're supposed to be better than this. And like, it's just very disappointing that he's not. And I think illusions are being shattered for me at the moment about Toto Wolff. He just made some very disappointing comments about Checo and Max and like Red Bull kind of as a whole this weekend. Where Max broke the record and Toto basically was like, these records don't really matter. They're just about Wikipedia. Like it's just something to put on Wiki, but no one really cares about it. No one pays attention to it. And it's like,
and also he said, questioned whether or not like, why couldn't Lewis break this record? And he goes, well, Lewis had a teammate who was actually challenging him for wins.
Like, first of all, if Lewis did this record, Mercedes would have absolutely shoved it in everyone's faces.
100%.
Like, shoved it in their faces. Been like, the last time this happened was a Red Bull, and now it's us. And they would have been like, oh, see, we're officially, like, way better than Red Bull, like, even in this. Like, they would have gone balls to the wall with this. So I'm like, oh, my God, give it a fucking rest. Just don't comment on it. Just, like, no comment. If, like, don't make it like, oh, this record isn't important or, like, no one cares about it, because, like, you care. You do care. And if it was your driver, you would care a lot. Second of all, don't bring Checo into this. Like, for what? The poor man is just absolutely, like,
can't catch a break.
Just being beat down, and he just can't climb out of this hole that everyone keeps shoving him in. And I feel, oh, it's really sad.
But Christian was asked to comment about Toto's comments, and Christian pulled a Toto, and he's like, look, I don't want to get pulled into this kind of war of words. Like, I don't want to comment on this. And he goes, it's Max is driving at an unbelievable record, and I don't think that there's anyone in the world who could beat Max Verstappen in this car, that's for sure. And then, you know, the press pressed him for whether or not they think Mercedes are trying to take the shine off of Verstappen's achievements. Christian goes, you have to recognize and applaud what Max is doing at the moment. It's very special to achieve what he's achieved. We shouldn't detract from that in any way. In sport, things like this happen very rarely. It's a golden moment for him, and certainly a golden moment for the team. And so I think that was very big of Christian to just say,
just not even go there.
Not even go there. And we're seeing some real growth from Christian. He's not being a little gremlin in everyone's lives. He's actually, he's seeing some growth as an adult. And so we must have entered an alternate timeline where Christian and Toto Freaky Friday'd and they swapped bodies, because they are behaving as if that is the only case. That is the only option for what's going on right now.
It's absolutely insane. Like, what's going on? Yeah, we're living in a very weird world right now. But that's, you know, Toto's not the only one that's absolutely roasting Checo over a spit right now. Helmut Marko. We know people want to say that we're not a hater on this podcast. We're a hater of one person and one person only. And that's Helmut Marko. If we're Helmut a hater Marko. Of no one else, it's Helmut Marko.
If Helmut Marko has no haters left on this earth, we're dead.
We're dead. He said, he would just ram his mouth about Checo. He just said so many things. So I'm going to read a couple of quotes of like what he said. So he says, quote, Sergio Perez is not consistent. He's not always focused, but he has a contract until 2024, and Lando Norris has a contract until 2025. It's a pity that Norris' contract lasts so long, because he would be one of the candidates. He basically said that Lando was on the verge of joining Toro Rosso back when he joined McLaren, but he got a better offer from McLaren, so he went with them instead.
Which we know Zach loves to give people a lot of money to join the McLaren team. So I don't doubt that.
And then he also said, Helmut also noted that a 33-year-old driver with several children has other interests, meaning that the Mexican's interests outside the track must also be considered. He said, Sergio is already over 30 years old and will soon have his fourth child. He already has other interests, so we will have to see what happens next. And then for the absolute kicker, the cherry on top of the shittiest things that you could say about someone is this. He said, let's remember that Checo is South American, and so
which is not true.
No, it's not true.
Not true.
He said, remember that he is South American, and so his head is not as focused as Max as Sebastian Vettel was, but racing is his forte, and he has had very good races. Like, I'm sorry, what, you have to be Dutch or German to have a focused head? But and also, if you're going to insult where someone's from and you're going to be racist and you're going to be an asshole.
Any other boss said those things about one of their employees, they would be fired.
Fired.
Like, that's like, you can't just go around saying, oh, he's not as, because he's from a worse country than these white guys, he's not as good of a driver. Like, you can't say shit like that.
It's just, how is he still there?
McConnell have made deals with the devil to still be running things. And it is simply not fair. When will it end? When will our suffering end? When?
Like, okay, in terms of, let's remember that as he is South American, so his head is not as focused. Let's remember that he is 1 bajillion years old, and so his head is not as focused. And that's me talking about Helmut.
Literally.
Oh, like, my. I read that quote, and I literally had to double check that I was reading a reputable news source, and this was a legitimate quote, and not, like, Formula meme or like some fucking parody account. And it wasn't. I was just like, this is,
and you guys know that
number one things that you should not say.
we don't ride that hard for Checo. You know that, like we said in our AMA that we wouldn't really care too much if Checo got dropped from the grid, right? Like he's not our favorite. It is what it is. But there are some unacceptable things that are being said about him. And I just like, I can't believe that someone like this is still allowed to make decisions that impact Sergio. I would be like, I'm not coming to work anymore.
Which makes me
would literally kamikaze Max. Like, I would literally be like, oh, you want to talk shit about me? You want to make me feel like a bad person? I'm literally, boom, I'm ruining things for Max.
It's just like, it's so ridiculous. And it makes me very unsurprised that Checo is like, people have been talking about like what he's going to do when his contract is up. And he's like, I mean, I'd like to stay, but I'm not
staying here.
He goes, I really want to be on a team where like I can make a difference and I can like be a part of the team basically. And so he's like, if that doesn't happen here, then I'll have to look for somewhere else. And I feel like he's just being very open about it. And I'm like, I'm not fucking surprised.
You know what? Checo and Mick should talk to each other.
100%. They should start their own team.
Because they should start their own team. They should start, hey, we're not being supported team. Because Mick recently just came out and kind of aired some of his grievances with the Haas team. Obviously, we've talked a little bit about this recently, about how, you know, Mick was not necessarily given the tools. He said, quote, recently, I now see how things should actually be done at Mercedes. Even with other team bosses like at McLaren or Williams, the 2 years I had nothing to do with that. Then you cannot assume that a driver will perform at his best if he is not supported in the right ways. And I think that's Mick was just like really not given the tools for success while he was at Haas, which, you know, is a little sad to hear. But apparently it's a dog-eat-dog world out there in Formula One, and you cannot assume that just because you're on the team, anyone is going to treat you with respect.
Yeah. And I mean, like, to play devil's advocate on that, like, I think that we definitely agree that like he probably wasn't given the tools and he wasn't given, you know, as much support as like a rookie really does like need. But, you know, we read in Gunther's book and he's like, we're not a team that has enough money to be able to give that support. And right. Like, he is like, we would love to have like, you know, been able to say Mick crashing the car as much as he did or like making these mistakes is okay, and that's how you learn. Like, we would love to be able to allow him to learn through the mistakes he's making, but we just like as a team can't afford that. Yeah. And so I think that was just not the right team to be like learning the ropes,
right?
And like learning how to be an F1, because right. It what like I think Mercedes obviously would have been okay if Mick had crashed that many times, because they can afford to like build a new car every week because they just have so much money. Even Williams, I think, like, has been doing better and knows, has the resources and like has like the historical knowledge to be able to do that. And I just don't think Haas really had that.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, once again, it's not a black and white issue. I don't think either party is necessarily wrong.
It's all about how everyone views situations differently.
It's all perception, and I don't think anyone's wrong for how they feel it went.
Amen. You know who else is kind of struggling at the moment? You touched this a little earlier about Joe. You know, he's talked about how Audi coming in 2026 is kind of messing with his head a little bit, and it's made his contract negotiations with Sauber not easy. Due to Joe wanting a more long-term contract. So, you know, I think Bottas has his contract until the end of 2024, and you and I have discussed this, which may potentially be Bottas' last year in Formula One.
I would be more surprised if he stays in F1 than if he left.
100%. I think after, like, I don't even think he posted about Monza. I think he posted about his going biking again after Monza.
Here's the thing is I will be really happy for him to leave, because I feel like this will be very – and I feel like he really needed this. Like, I feel like he needed these couple of years at Alfa Romeo, because I really think that he needed to have his leaving F1 be his choice and something that he chose to do rather than like, I didn't secure another contract, or like, I only had one, like a 1 year contract with Mercedes again, because they never gave him a multi-year contract, which is so fucking fake of them still. I still hate that that was a reality. But I think it's really nice for him to have had these couple of years, have the respect of a team to give him a multi-year contract, and then be able to go out on his own terms and be like, you know what? I did it and now I'm done and I'm going to go do something else that I enjoy. And I'm really happy for him for that.
Yeah. But I think my only question for Joe is that obviously we have 2 more years with Sauber, right? And so he's signed on for at least 1 more year, which will give him till 2024. And then like, maybe he's going to do so well, some other team's going to want to pick him up. I think he's not giving himself enough credit that by the time 2026 rolls around, why would he still be at that team? Why wouldn't he be at a better team? But you know, I think it's fair for him to want a multi-year contract. But I feel like people only get like multi-years as like 2 or maybe 3 year contracts. And even then, as we've seen with Danny, you're not guaranteed to close out all of those years of your contract. And even with Checo, we could see Red Bull cutting him and just saying, we're paying you out. Like, we've seen that before. So I think it's an interesting conversation to have. And it's great that he's kind of thinking about it. But I feel like it's too hard to plan that far in advance in this sport.
Yeah, 100%. Especially with all of these new regulations and new things coming, like, no, just nobody knows. Like, you just don't know.
And Aston Martin reserve driver and reigning F2 champ Felipe Drugovich is another name who's been linked recently to Joe's seat, suggesting that Sauber do have several options to consider. So, you know, we'll see what ends up happening. But I think Joe's really been outperforming Bottas. So I wouldn't be worried if I was Joe. I would be worried if I was Bottas, but I also don't think Bottas is worried because he's kind of done.
Bottas doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
He's not worried just because he doesn't really care, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love that for him. Tell me about Aston Martin.
Okay. Mike Crack, still my favorite name on the grid.
Mike Crack, baby.
Admits that Aston Martin needs to do more for Lance Stroll, amidst exit rumors. Now, I don't know if anyone's seen the rumor, but there's been rumors going around that Lance is going to retire from Formula One and become a tennis pro, which would be a crazy thing for him to do, because I feel like I don't know much about his tennis career, but it'd be...
He literally responded and he was like, I guess I gotta work on my backswing because like, I'm not that good.
Like, what do we think Lance's career looks like after Formula One? Like, what's he getting into? Is he gonna go the Nicki Latifi billionaire son route and go get his MBA somewhere and like take over the family business? Is he gonna
be a pop star with Chloe? They're gonna be the new Donnie Marie.
Yes, yes. Oh my God, that would be iconic.
Lance and Chloe, the new Donnie and Marie,
the new Partridge Family. Like, it would be, I can't wait for, I was gonna say Christmas album, but they're Jewish, so the new Hanukkah album would be absolutely iconic. But you know, Sky Sports F1 podcast was recently talking about Lawrence's investment in Aston Martin and saying like something like that number that he invested, I want to say $240 million or something like that, and when he bought the team. Something like that number, if I had to guess now, from 2nd to 4th place in the Constructors' Championship, there's a lot of money that's at stake there as well. It's an expensive business having a Formula One team, but then also having your son in it and not performing. So Lawrence right now is potentially losing money because Lance is not doing well. Mike Crack is saying their time gaps are not that different. There's some reliability issues happening in Lance's car. I think it's all just a bit of a PR cover-up that Lance is just not actually doing as well as Alonso, and Mike's just trying to, you know, show face for Lawrence because Lawrence has a lot of stake in this company. And is he going to fire his son because he's not doing well? Like, what is actually going to be the outcome of Aston Martin's second driver? Because Alonso is definitely their first driver right now. They know that he can consistently perform. He's pulling in podiums for them. He's making points, but Lance is not. So will they figure it out? Will they make Alonso do worse than Lance to make him be better? Or are they going to sack Lance at some point? Like, what's his dad going to do?
I mean, I'm sure there's a come to Jesus kind of conversation happening of like, Lance, what do you want to do with your life? Yeah. But I mean, the minute Lance isn't on that team anymore, Lawrence isn't owning the team.
I don't think that's true.
You don't think so?
I think that unless it's worth so much more money, I think Lawrence has made that team into a really great investment, and he's making a decent profit on the team, especially now they've talked about with the cost caps, and even Williams is becoming profitable, Haas is becoming profitable. Yeah. It's becoming easier, and like, why would the Aston Martin stock prices are going up? It's just a good deal for Lawrence.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll have as much of a like say. Like, I think he might step back as a less like visual and front and center person, but I think he'll always kind of have a stake until it becomes so valuable that he wants to sell it and make some money, or it starts to tank and he's like, this is actually,
I mean, it could be a like a situation where it is like he sells it to something like Andretti that wants to come in and actually like get into F1, and so there's a team that's already set up. I don't know. I don't think that Lawrence cares about F1. So, and he like really got into it because Lance wanted to be an F1 driver. So I'm like, I think
Lawrence
that,
cares about money. And
I know, but I'm saying, I think Lawrence is someone that can make money doing anything. Mm-hmm. He can make money however the fuck he wants to make money. He doesn't need this team to make money. And I think that's why Lance has been allowed to not be performing that well, is because it's a drop in the bucket for Lawrence. Like, he doesn't actually need this. He can go somewhere else and he could buy a fucking tennis academy for Lance to play tennis if he wants to. Like, I don't see him sticking around too much longer, which I think is also why the rest of Aston Martin has a vested interest in making it seem like Lance is doing better or giving him more things, because they also don't want to lose out on all the money that Lawrence brings to the table. And I think it's interesting Lawrence could be like, I'm out. Lance is not here anymore. Why would I be here? I'll sell it to someone else and make my money back and go fucking bring another brand to Canada. Like, I don't need this. It's a drop in the bucket.
Interesting.
It's like me being like,
I
babysit.
You, but
it's me being like, I have a job and I babysit, and like, oh, I guess I'll stop babysitting. Like, I could just go get another part-time job to like reclaim that income. And I'm equating that because obviously that's as much money as I think Lawrence makes off of F1 in terms of everything else he does.
Do you want to tell me about Toto Wolff's knee surgery?
Yeah, Toto's getting knee surgery. He hurt himself this summer on like a biking incident or something. I don't know. So he is getting knee surgery and will be missing Suzuka. So they have someone else coming in to handle it in his place. But then he's coming back after, and the article said most likely on crutches. So this is called karma, Toto, for being a salty bitch in the paddock lately and in the media.
Do you think he'll have a cast, and do you think Danny will sign his cast and Toto will sign Danny's cast?
And they'll be the only two signatures on each of them. I would love that. I hope so.
Oh, yeah. That would be ideal. Speaking of Danny, I kind of wanted to commit myself to the Institute when I read this article. It made me so mad. It made me so sad and upset. And like, Danny's former race engineer said that he was surprised at the nature of Danny after he came back to the Red Bull team, describing him as, quote, hollow. Ricardo returned to Red Bull this year after a troubling season at McLaren, which appeared to see him lose all confidence driving a Formula One car. But it was not just a racing ability that took a turn for the worse, with Simon Rennie describing the Australian as hollow upon his return to Milton Keynes. Absolutely just so sad to hear that he had been rocked so hard by his time at McLaren, by Michael Italiano, by everything that happened in the past couple of years, that he just returned to Red Bull as a shell of his former self. And I'm happy that he got the support that he needed from Red Bull, despite it being, you know, the place that he left so many years ago. But I just read that and I was like, my God, all of the shit he had to go through last year, like, we don't even know of it. Like, it's not even scratching the surface, just like what we saw from him. And I hope he knows now to take better care of himself and like really vouch for his needs above the teams. And you know, I just, my heart hurts for him. And that's just me, not just me as a Danny stan, but I would feel that way about anyone on the grid who kind of went through what Danny did.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me about the girls' room.
terms of the girls' room, I don't really have too much. Not a huge showing of Wags in Monza this weekend. We had Kelly, we had Lily, Oscar's Lily, and we had Kika and Tiffany. I think that was it. Nothing crazy to report. The girlies are not really girlying lately, and other than Carmen is just an absolute finance influencer now, and all she does is read books about CEOs and stuff, and it's such an interesting persona for her to have. I don't know. It's just like a very interesting persona for her that I think is funny. Her and George are just such like a, I don't know. It's funny because I think her and George, I love them so much. Like, I love Carmen, you know that, but I do think that she and George are that couple that, like, in high school, you're like, they try so hard. And, like, these people are, like, gunning for, like, best couple award. Like, I feel like they very much are like, oh, Carmen, I'm in finance and I'm in investments. And, like, I would never read a silly book. Like, I only read, like, investment banking.
I know, she's reading her CEO girl boss book.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God, please give me a break. And like, please, for the love of God, read a fantasy book or something. Like, my friend, you're really such a young woman. Please have some fun.
Have some fun.
Like, please. But yeah, I mean, nothing crazy. Charlotte continues to stir the pot. Just continues to stir the pot as an ex-wag, just being like, I'm just still involved with Ferrari. Like, it's so funny to me.
Don't forget.
Don't you dare forget. So that's funny. Yeah. I mean, there's just really nothing happening with the wags lately. And I wish that they would change that for me.
Yeah.
Chloe has had a couple other singles come out, or one other single. I haven't actually listened to it because I didn't like Run.
Me either. So yeah, I know.
She really lost me. Like, sorry that you couldn't follow up Surrender with Run and expect me to stick around.
Like, not the vibe. Unfortunately, I feel like we talked a little bit about this on our story recently about how we're so psyched that Tiffany really gave Botez a glow up. Like, she just really changed the game for him. And he is just looking so good lately. And like, he's so happy. He's so healthy. And I think it's just like such a testament to anyone who is going through it, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and like, you are going to find the right person for you, and you're going to find the right place for you, and you're going to really not have to change yourself to fit into some box, predefined box that you thought that you had to.
And a good example with a lot of other people on the grid to just say, like, you don't peak in like your high school age.
Right.
Like, trust. Yeah. Because this is not, and we always say, you're not ugly, you're just poor. Mm-hmm. That was not the case for Botas, because he wasn't ugly. He just was not in love with Tiffany. And I think this is like a very nice example that you don't necessarily need money to become hot. All you need to do is really believe in yourself and like enjoy your life and take care of yourself and your mental health and surround yourself with good people. And like, that confidence and that like general joy is going to translate. And like, I just feel like he has come to this place where he's like in such a better place mentally, in such a better place life-wise. He's with someone that he like absolutely is in love with, and like, is just clearly such a good partner for him, and like, he's just glowed up so much, and I feel like that is just like such a nice thing to see, and like such a good reminder for everyone. And he's like he's well in his 30s, like he's hitting his prime right now.
100%. I mean, we always say that men in their 30s are always the hottest.
That's when they get really good.
Yeah, so Botas, keep it up babes. You're doing
Tiffany,
great.
Keep doing what you're doing.
All right, anything else in the girls' room?
No, that's it for the girls' room.
And that's it for this girls' room as well.
Yeah, this room of girls is gotta go.
But we'll see you tomorrow if you would like to join us for all things Italian vacay. We also have, I think, we have two episodes coming out next week as well.
Yeah.
Don't forget, if you haven't entered our CODA giveaway for two free general admission tickets, that ends next week. We will be announcing the winner on the podcast next week, where we will be joined from someone from the Circuit of America to just kind of talk to us about all things, you know, Austin, all things Circuit of Americas, and they're going to help us announce the winner. So tune into that. It's going to be really exciting. And then we also have a mini-sode dropping next week with a very special guest that we're very excited about. You'll have to wait and find out who that is for next week.
And just a quick note on the CODA giveaway. Just want to let everyone know that if you already have tickets to the Austin Grand Prix, they cannot be reimbursed if you win this giveaway. So you will have to sell those on your own or give them to someone else in your life. And instead of having two tickets, have four and bring some other people and let them enjoy the race too. So just a quick note that you cannot then go and ask for CODA to reimburse your tickets. Yes,
100%. Good note. But yeah, I guess until tomorrow.
We'll see you on the internet.
Bye.
Bye.